Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome, Clippers fans, to Clips and Dip. Clippers basketball is back. I am Chuck Mockler, one third of the host and crew here at Clips and Dip. I'm here with Adam Oslin, William Updike. We are part of the 213 podcast empire. Check us out, iTunes, Spotify, Deezer, Amazon Pods, if those are a thing. Anywhere you can find podcasts, you can listen to us. Clippers basketball is back. We're here to talk about it. They took care of business tonight. I think we can all agree. Finishing the game, what was it? 121-81. The Clippers got the victory. Adam, Will, how are you guys feeling just to see Clippers basketball again? Will, we'll go to you.
Yeah, I mean, if this counts as Clippers basketball, which it does.
They were wearing uniforms and they were playing an organized game.
Yes. Yes. Against nearly an NBA team.
Can we talk about that for a sec? Because was it like the announcers were talking about, like Brian Seaman, who was great to hear back, by the way, we're talking about how a lot of these guys met each other for this game like today. Like they signed a bunch of guys like last minute. Because the rules for this team is that you can only have two international players in league play. But they had very clearly much more than that. So I just thought that was interesting. Good first opponent, I think.
That may be part of the reason why they lost by 30 to the Clippers, not a team that didn't play Kawhi or Paul George or Reggie or 40. Math is hard. There's a few things you can, I think, take away from the preseason. One is just Marcus Morris playing in the preseason, I think, is a big deal. He never had before as a Clipper. You guys body shamed him into oblivion last year, and now he got into that shape that you were looking for. And he looks thinner. I saw him at media day. He looks thinner. He looked thinner in this one. He hit their first bucket. He had a nice drive to the basket that he kicked out for a three-pointer, I think, to Kennard or Rocco. He does look much more spry out there. It's noticeable. And I was thinking about this, and it's not that Marcus Morris doesn't already have a chip on his shoulder, because he does. But with the level of competition on this team for minutes, with guys competing for minutes like this, and Paul George said the other day at media day, you know, you can go so hard when you're out there because you know you don't have to play heavy minutes. But the other side of that is you want to showcase your skills as much as possible to stay on the floor. And with Rocco there now for a full season, with Batum, with all these guys, maybe it's lit a fire under a few different players. And Marcus Morris has taken his game and his conditioning up a notch from what we saw last year, even though he was great at times last year, was the focal point of the offense. But I thought he looked really good out there.
Yeah, you bring up a great point in that, you know, when there are like 11 guys all deserving of minutes, kind of all fighting for minutes, I wonder what kind of energy that brings into the preseason, into training camp, as these guys like who, you know, are great in roles and stuff, like are still looking for more time on the court, are still looking to be featured as a part of this offense, and certainly on both ends of the floor. So I do think that that's kind of an interesting little wrinkle to the preseason, right? It just raises the stakes a little bit because, you know, someone like Morris, who I think I mean, I think it's pretty easy to pencil him in into that starting lineup. Like, nothing.
Man, Rocco looks so good, but yeah, right. And I know it's exactly, just the first game, but yeah.
No, but like, that's what I mean though. Like, nothing is set in stone. Like, nobody's, sure. I mean, there's two guys on this roster, maybe three if you count Zoo, because he's like the only traditional.
I think that's
center.
Fair. Yeah, I think
there's like two.
Not after what Moses did tonight.
Okay, we got so much to get to. I think kind of before we start getting into some other individual guys, I thought the team itself, like that Clippers ethos of drive, kick, swing, it felt like it was like at least the belief in that system and the buying in and how kind of everyone was moving off ball. Like Preston, I thought moved really well off ball. Luke, obviously. Had a phenomenal game thanks to this drive kick swing, but like it's hammered into guys. Like the play style looked not that different in the first half than I think what we're going to see running with the main guys. Like it was great to see kind of just the vibes being right. I know they were a vibes team last year, but we know it was this level of competition, but there's just some great building blocks being put down. It felt like after today's game.
And even though this is a much lesser opponent than they'll ever see during the regular season or even in the preseason, the Clippers, most of the time, are going to be the better team all season long. It's less about what the opposition is doing. It's more about what the Clippers are doing and running their offense and going through their traits and executing that philosophy that Coach Lou wants. And I thought the drive kick swing and just the pace they played with was completely different. Maybe it was the opponent. Maybe it was because they didn't have Kawhi and Paul George out there. They could play even faster because, as you guys always say, Kawhi likes to play at his own pace, and it's true. But it seems like they're intent on playing faster this season, just like they were last year, because two years ago they were 30th in pace. Last year they were 18th. They have John Wall now. We haven't seen him yet, but tonight – Jason Preston, by the way, did an admirable job running the show. He had 10 assists. He got them into some of
and
those
nine
easy looks
boards.
From the outside. Yeah, it was almost a Russell Westbrook-like stat line with him going after the basket like that. He was going for those rebounds over and over again. But
he was making the forward pass on the transition, which was great. Like he was really helping push transition in a great way.
The scoring is still an issue.
Sure, we'll talk to you. Sure.
Him, man, and then I think a kick out to Roku or Kennard.
It was Kennard. I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
It was beautiful ball movement in the first half between those three. And I know who the opponent is, but I do think that's who the Clippers have to be all season long when they have those certain lineups out there especially.
Totally. And you talk about the, like, you know, maybe the level of this opponent not being the highest. How many times, like time and time again, have we seen the Clippers, this team, even fully healthy, play down to an opponent? You know what I mean? And it kind of goes into like what I'm looking for this season, which is like, yes, I know it's long. Yes, I know you hit the doldrums at times, but like, I would like to see this team putting away lesser competition early and often. And I think that, you know, like that is one of those things where in this game, you know, obviously, guys didn't play the minutes loads that they would regularly play, but they also like didn't really take their foot off the gas, and it just wasn't really necessary. They just took care of business.
It's going to be like Rudy some nights where the starters are going to be like, all right, we got to play hard. We got to take care of business so we can get Brandon Boston in here late.
Yeah. is it fair to say – so obviously we're talking about the offensive process. That looked great. Can we not really judge the defense? In a game like this, I know they held them to 81 points. They shot like 18% from three or something. But I mean, like individually, I think so. But I think team wise, it's a little difficult to be like, oh, this is going to be a problem. Because like Roko looked great, still had the quick hands, stuff like that. But I think maybe the competition sways, you know, the defensive outlook of this a little differently. Not saying that the Clippers like were bad or anything, but it's just hard to gauge anything defensively in a game like this.
Yeah, I agree. I still think the effort was good, though. They were connected. Guys were talking a little bit, and they played hard. I think that's all you can do in those situations. The level of competition, you're not gonna be able to swallow up a defense like this or swallow up an offense in the modern NBA where you hold teams to 80 points very often.
That, I mean, yeah. No.
But I do think the Clippers have the potential to be Boston on steroids. Remember when everybody said Boston's defense is so unbelievable? They lost to the Warriors in the finals, and everybody forgot of how much we were talking about Boston and how transcendent that defense was with their switchability. The Clippers can do that in spades. They can do that more than anyone else. So I do. They were eighth last year without Kawhi.
Yeah.
And now they got Moses Brown. we'll see.
Well, it is funny. Moses Brown and Xavier Moon actually tied each other in blocks with two each.
I was
Xavier
just going to say the same thing.
Moses Brown competing for that that shot blocker standpoint. All right, let's talk. I guess let's go players of the game, honestly. Will, who's your player of the game in this 121-81 victory?
I loved what Xavier Moon did. And I'm definitely going to give him his flowers because I don't know how often I'll get to do it during the NBA season. But I just liked everything that I saw from him. He was aggressive. There were a couple of assists that kind of got missed. It seemed like there was a couple of miscommunications between him and Brandon Boston, like on a couple of back-to-back plays. And I'm pretty sure Ty Lue even took a timeout after the second one. He clearly doesn't have the chemistry with the other guys, which is fine. You know, it's not where he's most likely going to be spending the majority of his time. But these are the kind of games where these are the guys that I want to see like show up and show out. And I felt like we got that from Xavier Moon. And he still brings a lot of like that. He does bring the speed element. He was super impactful. Plus 25, led the team in plus minus.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, he was, you know, I thought it was a great Xavier Moon game.
Adam, player of the game. And you can't say John Wall because he didn't play.
I can. Did you see those three-pointers he was hitting pregame? All right, I'm going Moses Brown then because we brought him up on the podcast before they even brought him into training camp.
Yeah.
He's tall, and he was effective out there. He caught a lob. I think it was from Preston. He had a putback jam. He had a little baby hook. He got into the open court himself and threw it down. It's not just that he's tall. He's a good athlete. Like, speaking of the pace they played at, he wasn't too slow to stick with their guards. Like, he was running down the floor. He can beat the other man's big man down the floor at 7'3". That's impressive to me. But the effort has to be there. And look, whoever's going to be the backup center, if it is Moses Brown, I think that'd be great. But we're talking 10 to 15 minutes a night at most. And people have talked about, well, is Moses a project? Do you want a backup big man who's a project? I'm not sure that's the case. Like, the reason you can get playing time in Cleveland is because they have some really good bigs there. That's not, I don't think it's a slight against him that he hasn't made it so far or found his place in the NBA. And I thought the effort and just the way he fit in tonight, not making a lot of mistakes, you just can't have that at that position also. I think Moses Brown showed up, and just like Hartenstein did last year for the Clippers in the preseason, that's how we won the job.
That's legit. I thought one of you was going to say Robert Covington or Luke Kennard, because I'm going to go with Luke Kennard because we kind of talked about with Shap, Will, how like Luke maybe would be rusty, right? Like he's a guy, or no, I think it was in a Twitter spaces with Tomer. Tomer was talking about how maybe Luke could be a guy who like coming back, it's kind of hard to get into form if you're a shooter. You know, like you're cold, you don't really know how many shots you're going to get. Luke Kennard came out and hit 4 of 5 threes and was just exactly the exact same player that he was when the season ended, which not that I expected him to be bad or anything like that, but it was just really reassuring. And it's like he's going to come in here. He knows what he has to do. He was moving off the ball.
Help make Preston look good, too.
Exactly. Like Luke was shooting the lights out. It's all you want to see from him. And then, I mean, Covington off the bench, like 10 minutes, just wildly effective, plus 20 in 10 minutes, 13 points. His hands are over. He was hitting threes. Like those two guys, in terms of the like main guys who played, I don't think we could have seen anything better from those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I also want to give a tip of the cap to Musa. Musa Diabate.
His passing, man.
He passed to Amir.
I was like, what the hell? Like, that kind of came out of nowhere.
He was perfect from the floor. He finished with 14, 7, and 2. added a steal and a block.
Elbow jumper to end the third, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just another guy who, like, you know, like I said with Xavier Moon, like these are the guys that you want to be showing up and showing out in these kind of games. Like these are their opportunities to like show something that, you know, that maybe hasn't been put on display, and get to do it with, you know, guys that they might not normally get to play in rotations with, and especially not at game speed.
I thought it was of note of just how much bigger, as much as we have talked about Kawhi, Coffey did look the full 15 pounds
it's
bigger.
Like a different player.
Use that muscle.
They were underselling that,
muscle at the rim. Yeah, he was a force down there, just kind of attacking and moving guys out of the way. I love seeing that because his transition game has always been good. You get a little bit stronger, you become more of a freight train in transition.
Yeah, he looked, and you could tell on a couple of rebounds too, like he's moving well with the added size, which is great to see. Because sometimes I feel like it's hard sometimes. Amir Coffey, it's not like Amir Coffey went from not a skinny guy to a little stronger. He went from a skinny player to like now like kind of a bigger player, you know what I mean? Which can be a difficult transition, but he's still moving well. It looks like with Kawhi, like the weight's evenly distributed, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I love that he came in, you know, and like Marcus Morris did the complete opposite. So it was good to see. Yeah, Coffey, I mean, compared to his last preseason, he started off this one great. 4 of 6, 11 points.
Terrence also looked stronger out there too. And to have both of those guys that do play downhill well, I think those can be difference makers. That size, that can be a big advantage for them. I just love the fact that they want to play faster. Because all the numbers say, you know, they take a shot within the first 10 seconds of the shot clock and the Clippers, you know, their offensive efficiency goes off the charts. That's what we've seen the last 2 years. So they have to take advantage of that and get into their offense a little bit faster.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also be effective in transition, where at times they were a circus last year.
It was awful a lot of the time.
It was wonky. It was awkward. But they were missing so many guys. Maybe it's a little bit expected. But this year, it's almost like they're still as good as this team is. Just strengthening strengths is one thing. But now they have other elements to unlock with this team still. That's what makes them so scary.
Yeah, I'm interested.
And we haven't even seen John Wall. So, you know.
That was the other thing.
That's a one-man wrecking crew.
That's the other good thing about this game. We learned the official debuts, I guess, for what? Paul George, Kawhi, Norm, Wall, Batum, and Reggie. And I guess Zoo, because Zoo didn't play either. Like, do we think everyone's going to play on Monday? That was great to hear.
That's what it seems like.
There's less preseason games than ever. And when you have so many guys that haven't played together and guys who were out so much time last season, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be shocked if anybody played 15, 20 minutes of the guys you were talking about.
Sure.
But if we get 5 to 10 minutes of Kawhi Leonard, Clipper Nation's in heaven.
Who cares?
Yeah, and it makes more sense with more of a training camp, too, that guys are more willing to play in the preseason, right? You have a little bit more time to kind of, like, get to where you want to be. And I would think that there's less of a concern for injury, even as you're ramping up your minutes.
The fact that Kawhi said, yeah, I'm playing, I'm doing everything in training camp, and then did so, and there was a two-a-day in there.
Yeah.
And I know there were some days off yesterday or the day before, but he did those two sessions the opening day of training camp. That's a big deal. That's really encouraging. That's heartening. I mean, we expected it. We thought he'd be in great shape. He's almost 16 months, 17 months removed from the surgery. Mm-hmm. But it's still, you just don't know, because we've heard this in the past with guys. They come back, there's a little bit of swelling, they take time off, and it sounded like things went great after that first day. He recovered very well.
Yeah, the two-a-day is absolutely heartening. I like that you said that. That media day was just incredibly encouraging. I don't know if you guys remember this, but the media day, that the first media day with Kawhi and PG, Doc didn't speak to the media because that LA Times story came out about how Doc was talking about
the Malibu story.
Yeah. About how they got like Kawhi and PG, and he was like upset that the media put that story out. So he just didn't talk to the media, which was kind of a terrifying, like, you know,
ominous start
to a season that would end in flames, all things considered. And I just like this media day felt so much different. Like, they showed the new jerseys, which was great. The leaks were totally right from those 2K things or whatever. Reggie had sunglasses on. Everyone wants him to play in sunglasses now. Like, the media day looked fantastic.
Paul George looks 21 years of age.
He looks way younger. Yeah.
He went back to the Pacers cut and the goatee, how he had it then. He seriously looks just like he did in 2013, 2014 again.
Midlife crisis PG-13 is going to be unstoppable.
Adam, you are our man on the ground for Media Day. Was there anything that you picked up on in between players, vibe, anything that you saw kind of carried over into this game?
I mean, I asked one question there. I normally don't. I leave it to the professionals because, you know, I work for the team and it just feels like I'm a mole or something if I ask a question.
Hey, but who do you hate most on the team?
Yeah, I'm not going to ask any tough questions. You know it's going to be a softball for me. I know where my bread is buttered. But I just asked Reggie about, you know, what is it about this Clippers team where they bring in new players and they're able to thrive, or guys who are counted out? And he talked about they let you be yourself. They want to find out who you are, and then they want you to do what you do best, basically. And I thought that was pretty interesting because we're all looking to see what John Wall can be now as a Clipper, especially me. But they've had this unbelievable track record of getting the most out of guys who were either forgotten, given up on, bought out. For various reasons, they didn't have a squad, and the Clippers and these so-called reclamation projects are just the rejuvenation station is how I worded it in the question. That's what it seems like with this organization. I don't know. Yeah. That to me speaks volumes. And I think it's going to happen with John Wall. I think because of what we've seen with other guys. Yeah. I can't say it enough. Apparently. Dear God.
No, that is fantastic. Yeah. The whole vibes from the media day seemed great. I will say the video of Paul George showing off those Jordan 5s, it's pretty funny if you watch it a couple times. He doesn't necessarily look that impressed with them. It's just funny to me. Coming up after this quick break, we are going to talk about a couple things maybe we didn't like from this preseason game, although it is very hard to nitpick, and some stuff we want to see on Monday. Turn your Walkmans down. There's ads coming up in 3, 2, 1.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, so we're back. And, you know, we liked a lot from this game. Lot to like, first game back for the Clippers. What was everybody not feeling so hot on?
And Brandon Boston had zero rhythm in the first half.
Yeah.
And I think he ended up 1 for 9 or 1 for 10. But I'll say this about it to spin it into a positive. In the second half, he was intent on getting to the rim. Yeah. He had that big throwdown.
Yeah.
He almost had another one. And he had a block on the other end. A clean block.
That throwdown was his only make.
It was. I think there was some noticeable frustration. But we saw this at times in Summer League, too. And then he had a really good last game of Summer League. Mm-hmm. But I still think he's trying to, because it's that paralysis by analysis. When you have so much of a bag, when you have so much you could do out there and so much is expected of you, there's a lot of pressure heaped upon his shoulders because he does have, I think, at least all-star potential. Like, he does look like that type of player. And he's probably, you know, guys can overthink things when you work all summer long on expanding your game. And then what do I go to when actually it's live?
Sure.
And we're back to NBA.
He's
action.
Not in Turks and Caicos
anymore
with John Wall.
I never worry about him though either, because he's so damn confident. Like, he'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like 1 of 9 from the floor, 0 of 2 from 3 isn't really that concerning to me. I guess the thing that, like, I was taking more notice of was just how frustrated that he was looking at times. Because I feel like one of the good things about Boston as a young player is his kind of ability to sort of let stuff roll off of him. Because I do think that's really important to avoid that type of like analysis that you're talking about, or, you know, getting a little gun shy with the ball in your hands. And so seeing him sort of able to correct that a little bit more in the second half was definitely encouraging. But yeah, it was a less than it was a less than smooth performance, and I just felt like there were times where maybe it was that he was overthinking, and it just felt like he wasn't hyper aware of what was going on the floor. So yeah, it's preseason. It's one game. It's totally understandable. These guys who have been doing this for, you know, 10 years, it's probably a little bit easier to come back than it is from, you know, a very long break, probably the longest break he's had in his basketball playing career.
What's crazy, too. So he's a young 20 years old. He turned 20 in November. So he's just about to turn 20. I guess he's an old 20 or whatever. He was being guarded by a guy tonight who was 40. That Garcia guy for Maccabee was 40 and like drew a charge on him or something. And like in games like this, a 40-year-old who's played professional basketball that long is going to look better than the 20-year-old, like in terms of like crafty stuff, I think. I think Brandon was really hyped up. I think this is what the bad Brandon is. I'm not saying he was bad, but like when we start to see more of Brandon, he's going to be a streaky guy. Like it just kind of, to me, feels like right now, we know he has the tools. He's just got to put them together, but he's very much a momentum guy still because he's young. With young guys, they need those nice couple of games to get into a groove, and then it kind of goes away because you don't really know how to budget that momentum, I guess, if that makes sense. Really excited to see what his minutes look like on Monday with, what, six guys coming back, like three of which who are kind of all in his position. He got 27 minutes tonight. What do we think that looks like on Monday? And I guess, Adam, I'll go to you. What do you think he's got to do on Monday other than maybe pass the ball more?
He's just got to find his flow. And it's different for guys like he and Marcus who can isolate and create for themselves. There's that fine balance of getting your own, but then also playing within the flow of the offense and getting a feel for the game that way. But sometimes shots just don't fall, and it's a make or miss league, and it is that simple. But he had a couple of his shots blocked tonight.
Sure.
And I haven't seen that often. I don't know if the 40-year-old got him once, but it was interesting to see that. But they're all learning experiences for Brandon right now. But when minutes are at a premium, when you're trying to crack any amount of minutes you can out there, and a lot of Clippers guys are going to be dealing with this all season long, it just puts more pressure on you. You have to perform each and every time, especially when you have a coach like Lou. Not to say that he has a guy looking over your shoulder, or he's trying to put more pressure on you, but because he's always looking to tinker and find great lineups and to find things that do work. And he's not afraid to put anyone out there. We were talking about it earlier with Marcus Morris and what could happen with Rocco or Nick Batum if those guys could be in the starting lineup. It's Coach Lou. He's going to shuffle things up at some point. So nobody's job feels safe, I'm sure. And that's a good thing and a bad thing at times. It can be that I'm sure mentally it's got to be difficult for guys. But it also, I think, iron sharpens iron. And it's going to bring in the best out of guys because there's that competition all the time going on.
Yeah. And he was able to get to the line really effectively and was 5 of 6 from
That's fair.
So,
for sure.
So that is, that is one of those things that's good to see. We talked about it briefly, but Preston's scoring is still going to be an issue.
We got to talk about it. He can't get by guys.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things that like, he is such a great passer, has such like a high IQ
and rebounder evidently. Yeah.
But if he's like not a threat offensively with the ball in his hands, like it's really just going to severely, you know, cramp any of that stuff. He's not going to have space to operate if he's unable to make things happen for himself off the dribble.
Is it weird to think that like Preston's going to get like, I think Preston has an infinitely harder time breaking in this rotation than Brandon Boston Jr. does. like by far, right? Because he's got Reggie, John Wall, who were just two regular point guards in front of him. And then he's got Paul George and like Terrence sometimes. So like,
Norm.
Yeah, like he's not going to get, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, we'll see him a couple times, but he's going to have the least amount of total minutes, I think, of anyone on this.
Speaking of, what did you guys make of Man possibly being a five-tool player out there where he plays the five?
Oh, yeah.
At times. Which, I guess I think we've seen in spurts here and there. Like, I feel like maybe my memory is a little bit foggy, but there were a few times he was on Boban.
Right, sure. That's the throw anything at the wall playoffs and see if it sticks strategy. I think when it's Boban.
Hey, it's interesting, but if there's any guy that can do it, and we talked about him putting on the extra size, that's going to help him in that area, of course, too. And, you know, it'll be short stints here and there. But Terrence Mann has been through so much already as a player, not just because he played 4 years in college, but at first they tried to make him the point guard, and now they put him in a more natural position. But he's had to try to fit in all these different places. He probably has a good sense of all five positions on the floor. So it's not the worst idea to me.
No, he's been one of the more flexible guys, in this lineup. And I think it's going to continue to be that way, especially, you know, like as we keep talking about through the regular season, not knowing how many games exactly we'll get out of Kawhi and Paul George. He's going to be asked to do a lot. And I think it's one of those interesting things because we have talked about, you know, what is Terrence's ceiling as a player? Has he already reached that? And I think, I guess my counterpoint to that would be, well, at what position? at what position?
Sure,
because maybe he hasn't reached his ceiling yet at all five positions.
I think one thing for me is that I was talking with Chap about this, and it's like, it's almost like Terrence, like he's going to play the five in the sense that he's just going to be the roller a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's that sense. Like, it almost feels like the Clippers are going back to like an oldie time style of basketball where positions had names instead of numbers, like Terrence is the roller, like stuff like that. Like, these lineups are going to be so goofy that we'll see Terrence play like in three different possessions, three different positions. And I think that's going to be the same thing for a lot of guys with how this works. But I mean, the chaoticness of his NBA career has really actually benefited him and this Clippers team in terms of being ready for situations like this.
Yeah, and they have the right coach for this. He's totally going to exemplify their versatility. Terrence Mann, I'm not going to say he's going to be the face of the Clippers, but I do think there's this movement now, and this was spoken about by Paul George. No, for sure. But Paul George, something else he said at Media Day was just talking about their switchability and how they could be the pioneers of that. And it's something I've brought up for a couple of years now. Like, the Warriors were at the forefront of unlocking the power of the three-point shot. To combat that, you have to have more switchable guys, and that's what it looks like the Clippers are doing now. The Lakers have, like, no wings. The Clippers have wing stuff. They have all the wings. It looks like they understand where the game is going to and how you win right now in this league. And Terrence is going to be one of those guys that plays so many different positions and can pick up so many guys on switches.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I see him as being such an important piece to the longevity of that style of play. I mean, he's, his availability is off the charts, still young, and just up for anything. So he definitely is an important sort of tool in that wing stop toolbox.
I will say he's kind of young because he's older than Luke Kennard.
It's fair. Yeah. I mean, came into the league an old man. What are you going to do?
Is there anything else you guys?
He's NBA young. Doesn't have that many seasons under his belt.
That's fair. Did you guys dislike anything else that might be a real concern? Or is like, there's not a whole lot to really nitpick from this game.
I hate the Supersonics left.
Okay, I'll second that.
That's the only thing I was like. Hashtag SonicsGate.
Yeah, that.
It was great, though. It was fun seeing Kemp out there and Detlef Schrempf in his flat top.
Yeah, no, that was great. The crowd very much into it. And the Mariners.
Halftime show was terrible.
And the Mariners made the postseason during the game.
Yeah, that's all that those fans cared about. That was pretty sick. Shout out to the Mariners. What is it, 21 years or something like that?
I think so. Yeah, I think 2001.
They're throwing salmon in the streets of Seattle tonight. You know what I mean? That's great for those people down there.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
And they won.
Since they won 116 games, they hadn't been back.
Maybe.
Dear God.
And I heard the halftime show was terrible. Tomer Azerly had some great footage of that. That was bad. But all in all, a pretty solid night.
Blue Scholars.
Oh, man. Deep ref for the Seattle Backpack Rap fans. I've been to a Blue Scholars show. They're not that bad. Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot I disliked either. I will say I'm disappointed that Lucas Williamson went 0-for-6. But I did not know who he was. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I just wish for him that he maybe would have played a little bit better. He still, for plus minus, was a plus minus of 0. So he wasn't that detrimental despite going 0-6. Yeah, completely neutral. Yeah, just a bunch of random guys that I kind of forgot that we signed. So that was fun.
I can't wait for Monday night. I'm so stoked to see Kawhi. I don't care if it's 1 minute or 10 minutes, but I just want to see, because I love gauging the movement of guys when they come off of injuries. He talked a little bit about it off of Media Day, too. And we saw the picture of him and Paul George going at it in the post with Kawhi going for a reverse layup. And all the stuff you see, you know, from the Clippers media and the little clips we get here and there. And now we get to see, you know, 60 frames per second Kawhi Leonard back out there, so to speak. Like, I just can't wait to see what he looks like.
It's going to be a good time. Coming up, we're going to talk about what we want to see on Monday, as well as kind of some, an ex-Clipper found a new team. What we want to see on Monday coming up, make sure you turn down whatever you're listening to this on, your Walkman. Turn that down. Ads coming in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back to Clips and Dip, episode 18?
Yes, because we had the crossover last
time. Does it count if... If you guys weren't on it, though, last week, does it really count?
Yeah, you published it under the Clips and Dip name. It's absolutely a Clips and Dip episode.
Okay. We're on 18. Get to us on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you listen to these podcasts. But, yeah, Monday night, I do think this is – it's kind of a celebration, because the other thing that came out of Media Day and Paul George just speaking recently, I forget this was shown on the Evil Four letter, and I was going to pull this sound – but just him talking about the sense of urgency, because this is year four with him and Kawhi Leonard. And unfortunately, they haven't been able to get it done yet for a variety of reasons. Number one, the first year they were healthy. Second year, Kawhi goes down. Last year, they don't have Kawhi Leonard. It just feels like, okay, there is so much being put into this season, including this rotation and lineup and versatility that they've gathered. Everything hopefully is peaking at the right time for the Clippers to really come together in this 2-1-3 era. And we're going to be able to see it Monday, finally, and at least in a glimpse.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, we heard from Paul George, you know, talk about his window, you know, personally, to be able to compete for a championship. It isn't infinite. You know, there is, I'm sure he can feel that window closing, and this team. You know, we've talked about on this show that, you know, championship windows are often over before you know they're over. And I think that this team has a grasp of just like how finite those things are. And so hopefully, you know, like all those elements can kind of come together. But I'm expecting a level of urgency this year internally that I think we haven't seen other years. And it's not like that they haven't tried or that wasn't their goal or anything, but I just think that, you know,
they didn't have the coach.
I honestly think
that's a huge part of it. They didn't have the right coach.
They didn't have the coach, but yeah, I mean, like, just knowing that this is year four, and I mean, like, really, you know, you're like an injury away from maybe a smudge away. Yeah. From like just maybe taking the whole thing. I think that there's just no way that can't affect a roster like top to bottom. And it's not like people who haven't even played with these guys before don't know that either, you know? I'm curious to see how that all manifests in even their first preseason game altogether.
Chuck, let me know if you felt the same way watching it earlier tonight, but I had this feeling at one point like, because you get to see it play out now on the court, as I was mentioning there. It's not just clips. And tonight they showed off their depth a little bit. It's hard to gauge against a team like Maccabi, but they didn't have all their main guys. But just for a second, I kind of went, damn, you know, this team really is loaded. Like, this could be such a special year. Like, it could be like, if things go their way for once, they could be really an incredible team out there. Like, maybe one of the better teams we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it'll be reflected in the win total by the Clippers this year. I don't think that's going to be how people recognize or should recognize how great this Clippers team is. This should not be a win total team. You're going to watch them play some basketball that's just absolutely steamrolling some teams. And it's just going to be like a combination of unbelievable length on the wings and guys who can guard 1 through 4 pretty comfortably. And, you know, some other guys who can guard 2 through 5 pretty comfortably with some great overlap. Like, Rocco and Luke showed us tonight where even if they do, I mean, I'm not going to say exactly that because I'm not sure Luke's going to average 80% on threes for this season. Mm-hmm. Well, he might, given how good he is. But, and Covington, you know, 2 for 3. But, like, last season was so important for that build. And they talked about it on Media Day, how they wanted to show how good this team was kind of without Kawhi and things like that. And I think you're right, man. Like, this, it was the first preseason game against a second division team who had a bunch of guys who just met each other for the first time, like, 24 hours ago or whatever. But that mentality was there. Like, and what we're going to see on Monday, like, I think this performance today, if last season obviously gave Kawhi and PG a bunch of belief in this team that, not that they didn't have, but I think it boosted their outlook a little bit more. And I think that game also shows you too, like, we haven't missed a beat. Like, in terms of team spirit, in terms of strategy, no beats have been missed from last season to now. And sure, there might be a little bit of growing pains when we get everybody back. Like, what did we list? 6 guys who are going to come back and debut in terms of John Wall on Monday. But I don't know, having those, like, lesser feels like a more disrespectful word than what I actually mean. Having those lesser guys in the rotation already this locked in, you're starting off on the best possible foot.
The other side, I was going to bring this up to what the Clippers have built here and how the team's constructed. Aside from their switchability on defense, it's all the guys they have that can shoot. Yeah. They have guys that have so few flaws. They have so many guys that have so few flaws out there. Like, we talk about Luke Kennard. He's got deficiencies in certain areas. A lot of guys don't, though, on this team, and they just don't hurt you. And they're the one team, I said it on Twitter, that could look Golden State in the eye. And if Golden State wants to get into a 3-point shooting contest, Clippers can go bet. Okay, like, we can spread the ball around the perimeter too. And we can also beat you on the inside and in the mid-range with Kawhi and Paul George. They have so many different elements to this team that I just, you know, I have all the faith in the world that Coach Lou is going to find a way to unlock just a team that could be a juggernaut if things go their way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And will this be the first normal season, like, that the era?
I don't want to jinx it yet.
I mean, I'm not saying jinx it, but I mean, like, foreseeably, we probably won't have, you know, like, another shutdown due to a pandemic. We probably, sure, I mean, like, we they're already coming into this without the super truncated sort of training camps that we've had from the last couple of seasons. It's an actual 82, you know, game season. That is one of the things that is kind of weird. And I'm not going to, like, sit here and make a bunch of excuses, but, like, this could be the closest normal season that they have had in this group's time together.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point. We forget it feels longer ago, but then also recent at the same time with the COVID shutdown and everything and taking all that time off. But then everything's been pushed back since then. And this is the first time in a long time they're starting the season in October like they normally do. So it's normal for a lot of ways with the Clippers having their full squad, but the NBA as a whole just having a return to normalcy where they normally play and how the schedule normally lines up.
Totally agree. So in terms of preseason hype, are you guys waiting? I don't think we have any scorching takes exactly after this game against Maccabee, Are you waiting? And how many games are you waiting preseason wise to just start?
I think they'd sweep them in a 7-game series.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't think that's a hot take at all. Will and I were laughing, like, what if McAvey came out and just stomped the Clippers? Like, just what if the worst, like, what if they just put up like a $130 or something insane like that? How many
I was going to tweet it out during the game, but like at halftime, like, are we on the cusp of the biggest Israeli basketball comeback of all time?
Could they do it? Are you guys going to have any hot takes after game two? I'm going to be honest. It was a little hard for me after seeing how good Rocco and Luke Kennard looked to not kind of go off. But I don't know. I'm going back to what Adam said. I think we need to start acting as champions or not as champions, as can be champions. Like, this team is there. I think I'm going to wait 3 preseason games before I just lose my mind with expectations, which is also not enough games, I will admit.
Well, and my thing too is like not to be a pessimist or anything, but like we know how good this team is. Like, we know how good this team can be.
Sure.
So I feel like, not that it's like expected, but my expectations are a little bit different as far as like my hot take ability, especially compared to like last season, right? Where like last season, you know, we knew that we weren't gonna have Kawhi. Like, we knew that we weren't going to be competing for a championship with what we had. So it was like a little bit different. Like, you could get, you could get like a little bit more into minutia or have those kind of takes. But this year, I guess I'm hoping that I don't have to have hot takes. Like, it should just be like, this team is living up to its expectations, right? And the guys that we know how they can perform are going to perform as such.
The new hot take, not having
one. Oh, man, we are ahead of the game here on Clips and Dip.
I do feel like just with the waves they can throw at teams when they're healthy for stretches during the regular season, it's going to be scary hours, as the kids say. And there's going to be, look, if they come out opening night and just beat the brakes off the Lakers, they're going to get a ton of pub that people are going to say, okay, this is the Clippers year. This is the Clippers season. This is what people expected from them. If that happens, I think the hype is going to reach critical mass. Sure. And everybody is going to start getting that mentality that they're just supposed to win every single night. Even on nights without one of the two guys in Kawhi or Paul George, I think this team is so deadly. Yeah. I just maybe I'm a little too high after that beam.
Adam is just doubling down on the Moses Brown most improved player bets and the John Wall. I guess they're kind of competing against each other in that campaign. So I don't know who you'd put money on there.
I have so much faith in this organization. Sure. I don't know.
It just feels
like it should be their time. Yeah. The Clippers deserve it to be their time for once. And hopefully it is this season. We'll find out.
We definitely will. We'll have probably a recap for y'all after that game on Monday. We do got to talk about real quick, a former Clipper, Blake Griffin, signed with the Celtics. Good for Blake. I think Robert Flom tweeted that this is great for Blake and good for him because he doesn't have to hear about the Clippers possibly re-signing Blake Griffin, which I kind of agree with.
Yeah, it's a little weird to like see him in a Celtics jersey, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect from Blake at this point. I think it's one of the best fits he could have, being a Boston Celtic. I thought Dr. Schaap put it well on Twitter. Talking about, you know, he's a good passer. They play small at times. It could work out very well for him in limited minutes this season on a really good team like that. We'll see. It was not a terrible option, I think, for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. That about wraps it up. Real quick, what are we looking for? Will, I'll go to you. We'll just do this real fast. What are you looking for from PG and Kawhi on Monday? What do you want to see?
I'm curious to see just how Kawhi is moving, how he's able to put his body into defenders and stuff when he's posting up. And then Paul George, like, I'm it's kind of like fire and ice, I guess, between the two guys. Like, I'm just really excited to watch how smooth like his game looks, because he is like one of the most aesthetically pleasing offensive games. And just to be able to see him like get back into that, I'm really, really excited.
Adam, other than John Wall doing anything, what are you excited to see for Kawhi and PG?
Like, I don't know what the preseason record is for three pointers made by a player, but I think John Wall should be gunning for it. I want to see Kawhi Leonard, especially on defense, because Kawhi is one of those guys where on the defensive end, it's not that he isn't as good or wasn't as good as he was with San Antonio, but he would take more possessions off, I think, to save himself as he gets older. I want to see, though, if he's interested in testing himself in the preseason and how much he's willing to push things defensively and then offensively, if he explodes a little bit, if he has a dunk, if he blows by a guy. I want to see that from Kawhi in 5 to 10 minutes. That would be nice.
That's a great call. What about PG?
Paul George, he's the smoothest. If he's in rhythm right away.
Play him 4 minutes, have him hit two threes, get him out of there.
Yeah, and just, you know, he's so good at slithering past guys and then even moving bigs at times in the post. I just want to see him physically have that confidence with a full season away from everything that happened with the elbow last year and the hamstring the past couple of seasons, because he says it sounds like this is the best offseason he's had, at least as a Clipper, and maybe his best since he was third in MVP with the OKC Thunder. So if he's feeling that good, will we see him doing backflips into the pool and stuff?
I don't want to see that anymore, if I'm being totally honest. No more backflips and no more running by a pool or anything like that. The signs say no running.
We saw him have the exact same dunk he had on Birdman Anderson in the 2013 Eastern Conference Finals last year. So I don't worry too much about Paul George and his athleticism. We saw a reverse 360 dunk from him this offseason when they were in San Diego. I'm not overly concerned. I think he'll look great. That's what I expect.
I'm excited to see Kawhi get into his spots. I love watching Kawhi play offense, because he goes, I'm going to go here. You're all going to kind of let me get there, and then I'm going to do whatever I want to do after that. I'm really excited to see that. PG on the defensive end, I'm very much looking forward to seeing. He had some really good games on that end last year that I think made people believe who for some reason thought he wasn't good on the defensive end. I want to see how he's moving that way. It's going to be exciting to see. And
were those
how
the same
work.
People that thought Moses Brown wasn't tall?
Exact same people who thought Moses Brown. They said Moses Brown is actually, I think he's the same height as Napoleon. And I'm excited to see of the three-man lineups between, I don't know how much we're going to see it, but like the Kawhi PG Rocco versus the Kawhi PG Morris lineups are going to be interesting to kind of dissect. And something I think people should watch for, because that'll be a good time no matter what happens.
I also am really excited to see Norman Powell also get healthy, back playing with Kawhi Leonard, but with this Clippers group, because I really don't think people understand just how good Norman Powell can be. When you talk about guys that don't have many weaknesses, that is Norman Powell. That's why I think he's going to get a lot of run in closing lineups. But playing off of Kawhi and Paul George, if we get to see that at all Monday night, well,
how many points is John Wall going to get, Adam?
Well, you guys remember Pete Maravich at LSU averaging like 65 a game?
Had there been a
certain
point.
Something line. Along yeah. those.
All right, for sure. It's going to be a good time.
Who do you guys want the first? Who do you guys want the first basket of the game to be drawn up for?
Zoo. It's got to be Zoo. I hope it's
Zoo for three. I mean,
yes, that. 100%.
I hope it's Kawhi to Zoo.
Kawhi to Zoo. Kawhi Zoo pick and roll. Whoever gets it gets it. Kawhi Zoo pick and roll, Zoo kicks it out to like Morris for an open three or something. That would be fantastic to see. We will have an episode for you on Monday after that Clippers Blazers game. Carl Tart, friend of the show, he's going to be at that game actually in Seattle. But yeah, thank you so much for rocking with us. We're going to be coming at you more than once a week during the regular season. Right now, preseason going to be coming at you after the games. We can get it to you, all that good stuff. Yeah, Adam, Will, anything you want to say to these fantastic people before we let them have a good weekend?
No, yeah, if anybody didn't know.
No, you
sorry,
go.
Will, we are going 5 days a week when the regular season
starts. We're
going
to do our best
starts.
To do 5 days a week when the regular season starts.
We are going to attempt to give you great podcasts most of the week.
Nailed it.
What else needs to be said?
Absolutely. We're just over here trying our best. And thank you to everyone who has listened to this show. If you're listening to a new Clippers podcast starting during the off season, you're a real one. We really appreciate that.
A complete lunatic. We love to have you.
Yeah, we are so happy to have you on board. Tell your friends who maybe don't get excited until maybe the preseason starts or even the season starts. Go ahead and check out Clips and Dip. You can do that on anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Check us out on Twitter. That's at Clippers Pod. As the season starts to ramp up, you know the content's going to start to ramp up. You know, memes, all sorts of fun stuff going on over there.
Memes. End of list.
So
how do you do, fellow kids? Do you like memes?
We're just tanking our stock with the young adults right now. All right, we will talk to y'all on Monday. We hope everyone has a wonderful, relaxing weekend, and we will see y'all early next week.